I have a plan.
You've got a plan?
Yes.
First of all, you're copying me from when I said I had a plan.
No, I'm not. People say that all the time. It's not that unique of a thing to say.
Secondly, I don't even believe you have a plan.
I have part of a plan.
What percentage of a plan do you have?
You don't get to ask questions after the nonsense you pulled on Nowhere.
I just saved Quill.
We've already established that you destroying the ship that I'm on is not saving me.
When did we establish
that? Like 3 seconds ago!
No, I wasn't listening. I was thinking of something else.
Oh.
Ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka.
So it's a movie night podcast. We have the whole Nerdcast team here. Because we're all pretty excited. And as you can hear in the background, I think we, on a Nerdcast episode, what about, roughly about 6 or 7 minutes ago?
I feel
ago?
Like we did this.
6 or 7 months ago.
I feel like we did this on multiple Nerdcasts.
Every time they came out with a new trailer?
Really, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, who doesn't? To be fair. But sometimes you just get hooked on that feeling. All right, so Guardians of the Galaxy.
The whole thing about the Hasselhoff version of it, I feel like. Probably. Have you ever seen the video, the That's Hasselhoff video?
It's so good.
So good.
Maybe, wow. Maybe if you'd listen to our episodes, we could get some number boosts. But anyways.
I do listen to them sometimes.
Sometimes. So Guardians of the Galaxy, everybody was excited for it, at least to this group. I think the numbers, though, this past weekend proved that everybody was excited for it, even beyond this group.
Apparently.
Record-breaking box office numbers for the month of August. Poor Born Ultimatum, I believe, was it?
Yeah.
Ultimatum?
Yeah, that wasn't even close.
Well, not even was it not close. That came out like 6 years ago?
Yeah.
Ultimatum? No. Because that was the one with Jeremy Renner, right?
No, that was Legacy.
That was the last Matt Damon.
Okay.
Like 5 or 6 years ago.
So we're gonna go around, but last time I did this, Bob went too far with it. So in just one short statement first. Bob, your thoughts on...
Oh, I was going to let you start at the other end.
Thoughts on Guardians of the Galaxy, Bob.
I want to see it again.
Okay. Tyler?
I'm actually going to see it again tomorrow.
All right. Adam?
It's really good.
Can I pick between Bob and Tyler's answer of I want to see it again and I'll probably go see it again?
I don't know. I mean, I figured that one went without saying since we have talked about this on, you know, basically every time there was something to talk about with Guardians of the Galaxy, we talked about it on the Nerdcast, so... I mean, we're all seeing it again. It's not like...
Mm-hmm. How many pieces of clothing do you own now that have either Rocket Raccoon or Groot on them?
Just two.
Okay, I was just curious.
So,
I feel like every time a new one comes out...
Yeah, I want it. Yeah.
Anyway, so this is the movie night with Project Nerd. Once again, we do have the entire Nerdcast crew here to talk completely about Guardians of the Galaxy. So we will do our best to stay on point because for those of you familiar with the Nerdcast, we don't stay on point. So obviously all of us enjoyed the movie Guardians of the Galaxy. It was a great success at the theaters again.
Before we get any farther, I feel like we need to be clear about
that.
The spoilerific.
Yeah.
Spoilerific.
Yes.
That we're going to say.
Good
here.
Point, Tyler. Right. This is going to get really spoilery. This is a movie night podcast. And although the last time we did something like this, it was for... it was a special half episode in Nerdcast for it was Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
We warned up front heavily. The whole episode is about a movie that just came out that we all have seen. I can guarantee you from this point forward, if you have not seen it,
you will become
privy to information that you probably did not want to know before seeing it. So thank you, Tyler, for pointing that out. But
Cosmo and Howard.
Exactly.
Now,
okay.
Take that.
He just went straight for it. He's like, I want the spoilers out there first. So
shouldn't be listening to this if you haven't seen the movie.
Yeah. Broke 100 million by Monday. Well deserved. Fantastic all the way around. I don't even know where to start, to be honest. I think that's why we're kind of just mumbling here.
Well, let's talk about the numbers some. I mean, the movie, we got plenty to talk about with the movie, but let's go ahead and get the numbers piece out of the way. So broke 100 million by Monday, you're saying. Disproportionately high for a Marvel movie amongst the ladies as well.
Yes.
Yeah. 44%, I think, audiences were female, which is the highest for like maybe a superhero movie ever.
The oldest audience to go to a Marvel movie,
too. Do we thank Chris Pratt for that? Bob's got an interesting idea about it.
I've heard the music has actually been what's been drawing a lot of people in. It's just, because of that soundtrack, which hit number
Blue
three.
Sweet.
On
Blue
Billboard,
sweet,
it hit number one on iTunes.
It's number one on iTunes. Billboard had it at number three, but you know, like I said, I gave
suck
a
it
copy
Weird
of
Al.
The,
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know if that was necessary.
Anyways, go on.
I mean, the music, like I said, I gave a copy to a family member, and they're like, I want to go see this now. And so it's so, I mean, I think that's kind of drawing a little bit of people in. But still, it's just a fun movie.
I have a, not necessarily counter theory, but maybe a theory to put on top of that.
Chris Pratt dropping 60 pounds.
Well, that works. So well, yeah, that's one theory
quite
for
look
the ladies.
Like, I mean, like there's Chris Pratt in this, but then you go back and see pictures of him when he was in like Zero Dark 30. You're like, oh.
I mean, yeah, well, I mean.
Or what, I just saw a picture of him in Delivery Man. He was like 285 pounds.
So yeah. Another good theory that might work here that drew more audience. You have a tree and a raccoon. Is essentially superheroes. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I understand.
I get that as a look in, like, but I think that is more of a turnoff than anything.
You think so? I think it's going to pull people in. I think it's going to draw attention. Both of our guilty. I was the parent who took the kids to a PG-13 action movie on opening weekend.
Man.
So we'll get the PG-13-ness we have to get into a little bit more because it was
a lot cleaner than...
No, well, it was... Ooh. So here's the thing. It was a lot cleaner, but it was all played for laughs.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I'm sorry. I meant the action part was a lot cleaner.
Okay.
There was definitely...
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, there's sequences where Groot impales the bodies of, like, 10 guys and then uses their bodies to then beat the shit out of a bunch of other guys.
But there's
and
no
then
blood.
But it's supposed to be funny.
Right. Zero
and
blood.
Then he turns and grins at the camera. Yeah. Like, there's, like, planets getting blown up and guys' heads getting smashed in with hammers while blood, like, drips down.
Yeah.
Like, the thing. Like, it's... Like,
we blocked... Like, I saw it first, so we blocked Evie's eyes for that part.
No, I get that. I'm just saying, like, for
there's
a PG-13
a lot of implied,
movie,
there's
a lot of implied, like, genocide, if you will. Like, there's a lot of death.
Yeah.
And then the scene
where
Yondu, like, basically, like, eviscerates an entire field full of guys.
First of all, fantastic scene.
Yeah.
Which scene? I'm sorry.
When Yondu uses his arrow to, like, wipe
out
the entire field.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
Perfect. Yeah. So, many theories there, I guess, to say why the numbers went up. But I guess we can start with... We did a quick filling. What did it, you know?
What did you like the most about the movie?
That's a great question.
Oh, man. Where do I start? I mean, it was just an all-around great movie. I mean, great action, great script, awesome direction. Like I said, the cast is fantastic. Chris Pratt is like just, I mean, he's everywhere now. And I think that definitely drew a lot of
rapping about
in.
Dre.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
That was good. That was good. And, you know, you get Batista in there as Drax. I mean
which
that, I
was not expecting much from that role, but.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of the one that everybody was kind of going, I don't know about that. But like I said, it's just an all around good movie.
So Bob didn't really have a direct answer for his favorite part.
All right. Adam, what did you like most about the movie?
I think what I like most about the movie is for exactly what they're going for, the selection of James Gunn as a director, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The feel that he brings to his movies, the overall goal, I guess, of what they're trying to accomplish with this movie, having a fun, more playful, I guess, movie than the rest of the direction of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. With Captain America getting very kind of dark, and Thor getting very dark, and you got a lot of them taking these kind of darker, more serious ideals, you know, ideas. Then getting Guardians of the Galaxy coming in, James Gunn, we're going to go lighthearted. I think he did a really good job.
But he really only did one movie prior to this, and that was Slither. Yeah, I think he did another.
He did Super.
Super.
That yeah, he did Super, and he... I mean, well, and he's a graduate of the Troma universe and stuff like that. So he's done a lot of tongue-in-cheek type movies. And so I think it was
it's
a little gutsy, but, you know.
It's hard to say, too, because when you talk about a lot more of these video games, I know the games, you know, that he's been involved in didn't necessarily have as cinematic as a storyline. But, you know, putting together a video game, too, does call for some... idea of direction, I guess.
Oh yeah, You gotta tie in the overarching ideas, the story, the action sequences, the pacing. Video games now, certainly today, are much more like a playable movie than they are like a video game like they used to be.
Something when I was talking with Aaron about it, something I mentioned is essentially, like you said, it played out perfectly. So this was to James Gunn what the Avengers was to Joss Whedon, that it's you put a very capable director that mm-hmm. that a group, I know Whedon's cult following was much larger, but you still put a group that knew he was capable of this, put something in his hands that's, like you said, it's meant for something that he can handle.
Right.
And then everybody's like, oh, this James Gunn guy. All of a sudden, oh, this Joss Whedon guy. Look, he can direct. Yeah, there's that group that
already
kind of
know. Right, yes.
So,
welcome to the conversation.
So that was kind of, it was, in my opinion, a great thing because it's going to get him more attention and give him a chance to direct more. And he was also very grateful. I mean, shared a 5-6 paragraph long note on his Facebook page and, was calling out to people, telling them thanks and everything. So,
all right, Iggy, your favorite part of the movie. What'd you like the most?
The acting was definitely, which I know I gave Bob a hard time just a second ago. We point out the acting, but Lee Pace in particular, Ronan the Accuser. Ronan's a badass in the comics, but he still has that, what's the proper way to say it, that 80s comic vibe to him, if you understand what I'm going with, Tyler. I'm sure you do.
I mean, Ronan in the comic books is a... See, I feel like he was wasted a little bit in this one.
Yes, you
he
don't...
He was wasted a lot. Because, I mean, Ronan has a much... I mean, obviously they're not going to go into the intricacies of, like, the Kree Empire and the role of accusers and the Shi'ar and all that kind of stuff.
They just drop a little note and...
They make it clear that he's a giant asshole, which he's in the comic books. He's definitely not the most not likable of people. But they definitely... I think he was given short shrift and then they blow him up at the end and... call it a day.
Yeah.
I think all the villains kind of got short-tripped. Him, Nebula especially. Obviously, Thanos.
You can get Nebula and Thanos back.
We're going to get Nebula's back, and we're going to get Thanos back. But yeah, I think Lee Pace was given, and that his character was given a little bit
I completely agree. And it's hard, because that's another thing to talk about. It's the villains in this movie. Everybody's praising and praising and praising the actors and the hero characters that were put. But those villains, you were given three great villains that have, for the most part, three better villains than we've seen almost in any other Marvel movie. Even if you can try to make an argument that other Marvel movies are better, but when it comes to the terms of moving them from comics to screen, when you talk about the Marvel Universe, you're talking about three gigantic names there in the world of villains. And like you said, you got to get rid of one at the end of it. So you shortchange one that is very good, and not only very good for a comic book villain, but somebody that... I'm like, well, holy crap, Lee Pace has just made Ronan even better.
Well, and has
in my
reasons
opinion.
Behind the things that he does, and throughout the courses of various storylines, whether it's Annihilation or stuff, plays for different sides. Like he's not a straight down, I mean, not that any villain in the Marvel Universe is a straight down the middle villain, but has worked with, the Guardians of the Galaxy, has worked with Nova, has done some other stuff. But yeah, he definitely, there wasn't a whole lot of explanation why he's a murderous zealot, and then they just kind of... I mean, I love the movie. I'm not going to sit here and bash it, but I think of all the characters in the movie, he was the one that was given the shortest shrift. So,
well, and I'll agree with Iggy on the villains in this. If there's a knock on Marvel, it's having a clear villain,
mm-hmm.
and you can certainly look in the Spider-Man series, all of them.
But is that a knock on Marvel or is that a knock on Sony portraying Marvel?
It is what if he had a clear number one villain. Like the Joker or, Ra's al Ghul or some of the other, like the classic. When I think villains, I think DC almost exclusively. Like, man, their villains are.
Well, and the best Spider-Man movie is the one where there was one villain
singular.
Straight down the middle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Dr. Octopus, and it was on the nose and it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So. Right. I think that's something that Marvel has lacked, is a clear evil bad guy. And I think leaving Thanos out there is this kind of.
Ultimate
nebulous
dark
threat kind of thing.
Right. We don't know exactly what he is, we don't know exactly what he's capable of, but everybody is basically scared stiff of him.
Mm-hmm.
Presents a very kind of neat thing and a neat idea for where they can go with the other 28 movies they already have planned.
And that's fun, because the way he mentioned that ties into what I think I liked most about the movie, and it's the fact that, and obviously, I mean, you can watch it and very clearly right up front, it definitely takes pages from the Star Wars playbook and Indiana Jones playbook, those kind of pulpy over the top. But the something specifically that makes me think about Star Wars is you definitely get the feeling in this movie that you've been dumped in the middle of a story
mm-hmm.
that's been going on for a while and will continue to go on after you've left. and that everyone else kind of knows what we, as the audience, know less about anything that's going on than the people. Everyone in the movie knows more about what's going on than we do. Like,
yeah.
No one on that side of the galaxy doesn't know who Thanos, the Mad Titan, is. And it's very clear, like, everyone knows who Thanos mm-hmm. is. Like, that's not a, like, in those things, it's this nebulous thing, and on, back on Earth, everyone knows who that is.
So you're saying we're not getting some out of place origin story for the favor of the audience.
Yeah, we don't need that. Like, well, they're not going to sit here and they're going to give you a little.
They're not babysitting us, basically.
Yeah, they're not going to give you. But everyone knows who Thanos is. Everyone knows who Gamora is. Everyone knows who everyone in that universe. Everyone in that cosmic part of everyone, you know, knows who the Nova Corps is and understands it. And like the mm-hmm. way they use like the titles for the places they go, mm-hmm. like Nowhere and Xandar and stuff like that. McKiln. It's like you've been dumped in a place where everyone knows what's going on and you need to catch up. Like you're here to catch up with the story that's already going on, which I thought was really fun, and it gives it a really cool feel. And at the same time, they manage, I mean, obviously it's not super true to any specific storyline in the comic books, but they definitely right. pulled a lot from the Annihilation, the formation of the new that roster of Guardians of the Galaxy with mm-hmm. a few characters left out, like Nowhere, the Celestian's head is their like base of operations, and, mm-hmm. and then they have the Easter eggs, whether it be Cosmo, you know, over at the side, whether it be the Nova Corps, Adam Warlock's cocoon in the background, cocoon,
right. and collectors. Gunn, I think it was Gunn himself who confirmed that's his cocoon.
Yeah,
I think he has sense because there was a lot of questions about.
Well, because it was in Thor too, and everyone was like, "Had Adam Warlock's cocoon," and then they bring it back in this one at the end, and like, "Oh, yeah, that's
which is
definitely
even great
Adam Warlock's cocoon."
Because the as bad as Thor 2 was compared to the other Marvel movies, the end credit scene.
I really liked Thor 2
compared to the other Marvel movies. I don't know, but in my opinion, I guess, but the end credit scene ties this, you know, with the collector collecting stones, so it makes sense that mm-hmm. you could get other pieces that were found in that movie into the collector's possession.
Yeah, well,
so.
And the collector's obviously going to be someone who pops up. And, like, I love how they use the collector's place, because they used it just in the comic books. The collector is always a fun thing for comic book artists to draw, too, because they're like, it's the perfect opportunity to leave just any number of Easter eggs everywhere.
Yeah,
right. Has a little bit everything. There, just, you know, like you can draw this little thing in the background here, and there was even a monster from Slither in one of the cases.
Yeah, one of the slugs.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, you could see the character at the end of the movie. Oh yeah, spoilers. You can see Howard during one of the
he's up in a case and stuff like that. Because Cosmo, the dog, the Russian dog, mm-hmm. it was a fairly main character in the Guardians of the Galaxy. He's like the head of security. Like, he has telekinetic powers and super smart.
Yeah.
And him and Rocket kind of have a thing where they don't really like each other. But it was fun. And like you got dumped into this. And I remember one of the things that Bob was very adamant about when we were talking about Winter Soldier is that Winter Soldier was the most un-Marvel of all the Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. And after watching this, it's definitely not. Like Captain America is still very much a Marvel superhero movie. This is the difference. And I like that it is because it's. If you read them, there's a big difference between here's like core Marvel, then here's like X-Men Marvel, and then here's like over here somewhere is Cosmic Marvel. And the Cosmic Marvel comic books are this whole other messed up, crazy world that is, and they definitely made a good feel for that. So
mm-hmm. with that, and talking about X-Men being very different, and there's a lot of reasons too for that with Marvel, and we'll have this airs on Thursday, and of course the morning of. The news post will have something a little bit more about that, but it's a good point is that they're tying everything together that is a part of Marvel, and this will be tied together, but like you said, I think they're keeping it the best expression you could go to keep going with that analogy is a very loose tie, keeping it spread out. Something I'd like to concentrate a little bit on is definitely, you talk about the Thanos part. I think we've, a couple of us have hit on it lightly already, but the looming there. And he's, like you said, Tyler pointed out, or you guys pointed out, I think it was, I don't remember. But anyways, it was only 5 minutes ago, that there's a very clear villain. So Adam pointed that out. But then you get the Thanos looming there, and he's he just adds this presence. And you never know, like, when is he going to be inserted into it? Is he going to, how big
he's
is his role in these stuff?
Pulling the strings.
Exactly. Right. And to me, that's huge, because when you think, for those that are familiar with Marvel Comics, there's a small group of villains that are above, like, that are the main, like, most, I don't want to say main villains, but they're the most deadly villains. They're the most mm-hmm. powerful villains. And he definitely fits in that group. And I think, you know, going back to X-Men, too, X-Men... you know, he wasn't necessarily in the movie, but they've definitely hinted at it. They announced the next title with it, and they kind of are heading that same direction to where, like, we're going to make sure you understand Apocalypse is coming into the scene because he's a very big deal.
Right.
Unfortunately, Fantastic Four did it with Rise of the Silver Surfer and completely butchered one of the other very strong Marvel villains. But
And Marvel Comics has done a pretty good job of messing with Galactus, too, over the years.
Well, that's like, true.
So,
But I think just giving him that presence was very good. But kind of going back to the casting, so Josh Brolin.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
I don't think you get enough of him to really.
Yeah,
there's not. You can't really make a judgment call here. There.
Okay.
I think he can be. I think he could be perfectly good at.
Because it's going to be probably 5, 6, 7 years before Thanos is a main character in a Marvel movie. Because Feige's already said he's not really going to have anything to do with Avengers 2. Like, Avengers 3 is probably the first time Thanos, like, has significant screen time.
And if, I think if some of those titles hold up well, and exactly we get a little bit of what Gunn even said, it's got to eventually happen where the Guardians and the Avengers start to cross. That's the right time to introduce them, but like you said, that's going to be years down the road. It's always hard with... That's the one thing, and it's funny, because even as a comic book reader... Like, you find yourself complaining month to month. I have to wait a whole nother month for the next step in this. Now, comic book fans, you have to wait probably 2 to 3 years for the next step in it. So, but anyways, I guess pick a particular scene. So we've talked a little bit about what our favorite part is and everything like that. Focus on some pieces. Any scenes that really stood out to you or your favorite scene? We'll start on the other end this time. Good. Sorry, Bob.
No, that's okay. Good.
It's got to be the prison break and the formulation of the plan. So getting into prison, the formulation of the plan, and, you know, the memes are out there all over the place, but Rocket, I'm going to need that guy's leg. Hey, I got you this. Oh, thanks. Cool.
Yeah, the Winter Soldier.
Really wait,
you didn't want it? No, I didn't need that. I just
thought it'd be funny.
Isn't it funny? What did he look like hopping around? Yeah. Was it awesome? I'm going to need that guy's eye.
I think that one was...
no, I really it's really important to me.
And he's like cackling.
Yeah, so for all the humor in that scene, and then, I mean, that's good action. You get lots of good stuff there, I think. So I think the getting into and breaking out of prison would be kind of my... Yeah, that was it for me.
Okay, Tyler.
Yeah, he stole mine. It was the prison scene. Okay. But I'll go somewhere else now. I think the opening sequence where they all meet each other on Xandar, the little fight sequence where they're all fighting over the orb and he's shooting her and he's tripping her and then they're putting the bag over like that whole little like
learn your genders
that little slapstick thing was fun.
Not her. Yeah.
But back to the prison break scene. Did anyone spot Nathan Fillion's cameo in the movie?
Yeah, you didn't.
I heard it.
You heard it. Yeah.
It was kind of fun.
I didn't. I actually missed it, and I had. I know there was some articles that went online beforehand, and I avoided reading them. And I got the gist that he wasn't going to be a main character, and he was still open, I guess, for Marvel to cast him somewhere else. But I saw it twice, and still was kind of like, oh, where
did
was
you look
this?
Up what it was yet?
No. Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, but I did. I. Being honest, I initially did miss it though. So
yeah,
okay.
But yeah, that sequence on Xandar where they're all it's a good one. The orb.
All right, Bob.
I mean, for me, I thought just the opening sequence when you get Star Lord going to get the orb. That whole the whole title sequence, it just set the right tone using the music and
so after he was a kid.
After he was a kid, right?
Okay. Okay.
I mean, the title
sequence. You said the opening sequence.
Yeah,
I was thinking.
Yeah, the title
man,
sequence.
Man, Bob, that's real dark.
Yeah, I know. But the title sequence. I mean, with him dancing around, grabbing the little critters and then using them as a microphone, it just really set a fun tone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that kind of drew me in a little bit more. I thought it was that for me, just kind of like, okay, I know what I'm going to expect with this movie.
All right. So I guess
that would just leave you there, buddy.
What do you got there,
I guess I have to answer a single scene then. I don't know. The prison scene's really good. Like I said, I think the opening Xandar scene where he's getting the orb is kind of being tossed up. But I don't know. I guess the nowhere scene, the whole thing from the fun little bar brawl all the way to, you know, to I guess the
everything getting blown up.
Well, that and then yeah, the, then being yeah being saved. We were going to save you. Once again, we established this that blowing us up would not be saving.
So. When did we establish that?
Like 3 seconds ago.
Yeah. I wasn't listening. I was thinking something else.
I think there was a lot of really good scenes. I really enjoy, you know, the Nova Corps showing up to help at the right time.
What about John C. Reilly?
Yeah, John. Yeah. I was actually really good in it.
I think it's totally cool that you have a code name.
I think all around, really, it kind of is hard to pick one scene, but there are those few that are a bit more epic, I guess, than the others. But definitely, I think, more good scenes than not good scenes, I guess is a way to put it, too. And there's a lot of...
I can't even think of a bad scene.
I don't know if you
there's
got
a lot of fun
there,
little
right.
scenes.
So...
Which brings... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, last... Well, other two things. Anything that you're like, eh...
That's where
that
I was
going
to go to,
or,
so... What's your complaints?
What could you have done better?
What's your complaints? Tyler, you can start us with this one.
Well, we already talked about the villains, and I think that Ronan got short shift. But the one thing, I guess... As a comic book fan, and the only thing that I really wanted to, and I'm not mad about it because they can't go over the top, but I really, they really kind of, compared to who he is in the comic books, Drax was kind of a pussy. Yeah, Drax was a, like, genetically modified being created for one purpose and one purpose only, to kill Thanos.
Yeah.
And in the comic books, he's way more badass. He would not get slapped around like a little girl, like,
Like
against Ronan, like he did,
like Ronan does to him. So, but yeah, like I just think they could have done a little bit more with the villains. But it wasn't a movie about the movie wasn't about Ronan trying to blow up that planet. It was about the Guardians getting together and deciding to be a team of people. So,
all right, Bob, complaint?
Really, I don't have any complaints about this. I mean,
there's got to be one because you only gave it a 95 out of 100 on the score meter. So you didn't give it a perfect 10 out of 10.
I know. Wrong. Well, I'm saving my 10.
Okay. All right. So no complaints from Bob, Adam.
It's against the movie industry more than the movie, but I'm about to pay $9 again to go see it. So that's a little upsetting, but it's probably going to happen. Okay. No, I mean, I like that it's separate, and I like that it's tied together with the overarching villain of Thanos kind of popping up here and there. And again, you know, the Collector kind of tying that story together with what you saw from the second Thor movie and stuff like that. So I don't know. I would like to see a little bit more, maybe. And maybe that's a selfish thing. Maybe they don't. I didn't read the comics, so I don't know. I guess they didn't really tie in all of that much. But I would like to see a little bit more, and I just don't know if they can do that.
I felt like in the comics, at least the runs I'm familiar with the Guardians of the Galaxy, was more of, we're going to establish this connection beyond Manhattan, New York, to the Marvel universe. And you'd get tie-ins, and you'd have certain characters.
Spider-Man,
that
you'd have characters, stuff like you'd have that, characters right? that would cross over, but they also would try to make it clear that no one out there really cares what's going on Earth.
Yeah,
like,
Earth
that's
is
not important. Earth's and number two,
just another planet that has its own problems, just like the other ones.
And then the other big thing about the cosmic universe is they try to make it clear that the problems we're dealing with, no matter how big a deal, whatever the Fantastic Four, these are real problems. Like, these are real galaxy-ending problems. You guys are dealing with someone taking over the world. Like Doctor Doom, that's cute. There's a thing trying to eat every soul in the entire galaxy, and we have to stop it.
Yeah.
So
it's a good point too. And you would, I mean, you'd see long arcs of you would get, because I never read it as issues came out. I always read it in trade when I did pick up anything, Guardians or like you said, a bigger universe. But you had you could get whole trades or whole runs. Yeah. Where you never saw a main, you know, putting it in quotes, a main Marvel character in that run. It was just these people out here.
Like, if people enjoyed this movie and want to find out kind of where it came from, you go back to 2008 and look up all the cosmic titles that tied into what was called the Annihilation, which was the event in the cosmic universe. And you get a lot of Nova, the beginning of this team of Guardians of the Galaxy. You get Ronan, you get Thanos, you get Drax, you get all that kind of stuff. You get Pulsar, you get some other cool stuff. And there's even a character in it who's like a mainly an Earth character who shows up called Jack Flag, who basically entire purpose in it is to be sort of working with the Guardians, but to complain all the time about all this cosmic crap. Like, why am I, it's all like, because the storylines get ridiculous, you know, like, you know, this creature from outside this, the other dimension is coming to devour everyone. And this person's come back to life with cosmic. I mean, the storylines cosmic are, you think like X-Men storylines get weird, then you go out into the cosmic weird universe and things get really weird.
Well,
but,
until you come back to X-Men and you start learning about the Summers family tree. But anyways.
Adam Warlock, like Adam Warlock storyline and the character. I mean, like some of that stuff gets pretty weird.
My complaint would focus. It's a little less, like you kind of introduced one that was a little less movie and more. So it's not that she was bad as Gamora, but it's seeing her in so many other geek culture related movies. I kind of felt like I had seen Gamora in movies before because of Zoe Saldana. So
yeah. I'm not going to put that on her. They could have done a lot more with that character.
And she wasn't, I don't think she was, you talk about Drax being even weaker than what, I mean, Gamora, I don't think you really got to see her full range.
She's the deadliest woman in the universe.
Yeah. So, but at the same time, she didn't just get
but
a butt handed to her anyway.
I think
she
the
just,
chance,
they didn't
and,
show
I,
her
and
range.
Like, we already talked about the villain thing. I think her chance of being explored more was abandoned when they didn't explore Nebula more. Like, if they'd done more with that character, those two together could have done a whole other
And we
arc.
Still have that in the future.
It could come forward, yeah. I mean, I think they missed a chance at some really interesting characters development between the two of those two.
There was more than a handful of scenes. When she's setting it up in the prison, getting ready for the Collector, I just felt like this is that character from The Losers setting up that team to do a mission, to do a job. So I felt too many parallels with it, and it's... And I think she doesn't have the range of Chris Evans to go do a dozen comic book movies like he's done. Like, Chris Evans as Captain America is completely different than Chris Evans as the Human Torch or Evil X number 3 or this guy in Snowpiercer. Like, I mean, he's got, and even though he's done a dozen comic book movies going back to Snowpiercer, it's not all superhero stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really feel like a lot of her characters in these geek culture universes that she's portraying are overlapping, I guess would be a way to put it.
She's getting typecast as
that would
strong
be a great
female
way.
Character.
So that would be my complaint. And the one thing that I was shocked about, I didn't have a huge issue with it. I heard a lot of complaints about it. I'm surprised none of y'all complained about it, was the end credits scene. Like, a lot of people were expecting more from that.
I think that just ties into the fact that, like, they're trying to make it clear that this
is a different set of movies.
We're hundreds of light years away dealing with other stuff. Like, eventually these will interact, but this is not. I don't know what they could have legitimately done
that would have
made any
tied
sense.
It to
you don't
else.
Have anything immediately to set up that's not already set up is another thing.
Right. Where that would make sense. Like, right. If this movie came out closer to maybe Avengers 2, Avengers 3, there's all sorts of fun stuff.
Well, they already did the
they've already
the
done the collector
for the for the next Avengers with Captain America.
Yeah, that's also true.
The twins were in that
with Baron von Strucker and the twins and stuff.
Yeah.
So
I think you know, talking about complaints, I think my biggest complaint is the fact that when this title came out, when it was saying, okay, we're doing Guardians of the Galaxy, people were just kind of almost down on it, like going, oh, this is not going to work. That Hollywood was not really kind of going. They were talking about a $40, $50 million box office on this thing because, you know, it wasn't the Avengers. You didn't have the known characters like Thor and Captain America and Iron Man. These were something that were completely different, and I don't think Hollywood was kind of buying into that. And now,
which is funny, and like this is something we'll end up talking about on another Nerdcast. But the fact that was like that was even from like people who were fans of the Marvel movies, like
exactly.
Nerd culture people were like, "No, that's never going to work. That's not going to make money." And this is something we'll probably talk about on another Nerdcast, but it's going to probably be number one for another weekend and beat out Ninja Turtles.
As produced
by Michael Bay. Which, I mean, come on. The raccoon and the tree are beating the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
And as much as we all hate him, a Michael Bay production, I mean...
It will make money.
He makes money as much as we all hate him.
I mean,
so
your little stupid Transformers 4 is over $1 billion worldwide last week.
But it's like, I mean, it's like people were... The industry was afraid of something original.
They're terrified just, of that.
They're terrified of originality.
Always, Bob.
It's not news.
And so, right. I mean, so we bring Guardians of the Galaxy, something that people have never seen before, basically, and they were just really downplaying it, and it ended just blowing, going through the roof. So, I mean, that's probably my biggest complaint is that, you know, this constant, oh, it's got to be the same stuff over and over and over. Mm-hmm. But now that something new is coming out.
We don't know what to do. All right. Go find a movie from the 80s. We'll just redo it there with better graphics.
So as much as we could probably go on about this for another couple hours, we do need to wrap this up.
I have one more question.
So, okay. Okay. Well,
what do you want to see?
In traditional Tyler fashion.
This is an important one. All right. I've asked some good questions.
You have.
He did say last time, to be fair, that he had two questions that he wanted to get.
Right. Two questions.
All right. Well, let's get it out there.
What do you want to see in Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
I want to see stupid reporters do their research instead of being like, I read an entire article about how.
What do you want to see in the movie Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
Hold on. I read an entire article about how this movie reviewer didn't want Guardians 2 to reveal Star-Lord's father because it's remaining a mystery is important, and it's like, just go do a quick Google search, you dumbass. Like, seriously.
Yeah, that's not a secret, right? Yeah.
Anyways, okay, so what do we want to see in Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
It hasn't been a secret for like 30 years.
I know. That's what I'm saying. And I'm sure Google Star-Lord's daddy, and you're going to get an answer right there. So, okay. Bob, you can start us with what we need to see in the second one. Good question.
I think I'm sure they're going to do it. They're just going to keep that same tone. Like I said, I mean, they're going to highlight Bradley Cooper and the new Groot. I think if they keep the same tone going, I think, you know, there's not going to be hardly much change.
All right. Tyler?
I'm interested to see what route they go with Star-Lord's dad, Jason, like emperor of the Spart. Like, are they going to go down the whole Spartoid empire thing, or is he just going to be some alien guy who's big and powerful?
It'll just probably pop
and
in.
Then I would also like to see them. I don't know. The problem is with the tone they've gone with, some of the characters from the Guardians of the Galaxy would be tough to bring in, like Adam Warlock. Like, that mm-hmm. character is all over the map and goes some places. But I'd like to see Richard Rider, a Nova would be cool, and I'd really like to see some of the other Guardians characters from that early run in 2008, like specifically Mantis. She's a really fun, weird, kooky, over-the-top character who sees the future and takes things really strangely and is weird and ditzy and has some of the best lines in all those comic books. Like some of those other Guardians characters, people who have worked with the Guardian mm-hmm. team over the years.
This is not necessarily your... That's the team that's been in the comics.
Well, I mean, like, there was the Guardians from, like, the 60s. Then there was these new Guardians. It's kind of from 2008. But even then, like, that team
had
that
Nova.
Team makeup has switched out a ton. So,
all right, Adam.
I don't know enough about the Guardians, to be fair. Like,
well, is there anything indicated in the first movie that says, hey, let's see more of that character?
You want to see Howard the Duck?
No.
Let's see a Howard the Duck sequel. Reboot.
I'd be okay with the Howard the Duck reboot.
I'm cool with it.
What's Leah Thompson doing?
yes. As long as they rock out on stage.
Probably what I would like to see more Nebula. She didn't die, right?
No, she grabbed it. She grabbed the Nova Corp.
Yeah, she threw the guy out.
That's what I thought. Okay, right. So
she got a ride.
Right, so I'd like to see more of that. I think there is a lot more depth with the... obviously, Rocket and Groot kind of stole the show, and Peter Quill, I mean, fantastic character, but they really kind of left the other two out, Gamora and Drax. You don't get a lot of them in this first one, so I'd like to see a lot more interaction with them.
Drax is a very... And as Tyler's kind of brought up, he is a very flat character because he is... Like you said, he has one reason to have his drive, and then he was, like you said, he was enhanced to just do that, and that's his goal.
Well, but they definitely have changed his backstory. Like, he's actually, that's who he is, that body, that character, mm-hmm. that planet. Because in the comic books, that story gets weird. He's, like, some guy on Earth driving to, like, Las Vegas with his wife and kid, and his car gets blown up, the wife, kid die, the soul is then used to be put into another, I mean, it gets... It's the cosmic universe. It gets weird. So
and we didn't mention earlier too. Gamora, yeah, definitely got shortchanged. They didn't really get to see, like right. you said, the most deadliest woman in the universe. But if I was to say anything, it's for there to be. I don't want to. I'm going to go with a don't as opposed to what I do want to see, and something that we see time and time again with sequels.
Make it darker.
No, not that. Something we see time and time again with sequels is when something there's a certain part that people just overwhelmingly loved.
Don't make
they
it
just
the
cram
Groot
it down.
Their,
ex- yes, exactly. Yeah. I don't want it 100% Rock and Groot. Like I said, we want more of that Gamora Nebula sister fight. We want to know
right.
what Thanos is doing looming over. Maybe introduce some more of the characters from that universe, even if it is cameos. There is so much depth to be explored with Star-Lord right. still. I mean, with
they
Peter Quill's character.
Yeah, they introduced a lot of uncertainty with the way they shot the movie, like Tyler was talking about, the story that they told. There's a lot that it's kind of like...
Go so many
hey,
directions.
What we mentioned this like 14 seconds. That's all I got in the movie, and this could be a huge thing.
There was
I have
a lot
no
of things
idea.
That happened before this
right,
this
yeah, so
started.
There's so yeah, much like, that we can mm-hmm. get into.
So my point would be is definitely don't focus. I loved Rocket as well. Bradley Cooper did an amazing job. Loved Groot. And now we're getting the Groot to where he's throw the planter.
Throw him.
Yeah. So you're getting that Groot. But at the same time, I do worry. I'm hoping James Gunn retains enough creative control over this. But I do worry that they're going to be like, just give us more Rocket, give us more Groot, because that's what everybody loved. And then we end up with a, like you said, Rocket and Groot show. But anyways.
So I don't know how long it is before they start selling dancing baby Groots in a pot.
It's
going to
be.
But I definitely saw online where someone had taken the head off of one of the Groot pop vinyls and put it on like a, they made like a little thing out of the
yeah.
pot and
yeah.
put the head on it and the little arms. And it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I've seen a few popping up, but they're available on Etsy through, there's
oh, yeah.
somebody
Etsy's
who's
got
made
a couple
like
already.
A few versions, but, all right. So we're going to close out. Obviously everybody favored it. So we won't even ask if you liked it or not because we all did.
It's still at like 92 on Rotten Tomatoes, I think.
Yeah, it's really high.
Yeah, it's above 90 for sure. But give us your feedback. It's Movie Night with Project Nerd. Please post here on the post, on Podbean, on Facebook, wherever you find it. Definitely give us your feedback. Let us know what you thought about Guardians of the Galaxy. Of course, be mindful of your other readers who have maybe not seen the movie. So comments be
Why
a little less spoilers.
You?
So, well, yeah, exactly. If they haven't seen it, though, maybe you should rub it in their face and give them a spoiler or two. We are going to wrap up this movie night with Project Nerd, and probably go watch some more Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.